Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Great to be here. Are you all good this morning? Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, aye. Awesome. Oh, aye. Good. It's lovely to see you, most of you. And just joking. Here, life is funny, right, isn't it? It is dead funny. I had this reminder. I want to speak on something this morning because we're getting, this is Easter season. And those proper Christians who know, like, the diary, like, ex-Methodists, I'm sure, could tell me what this Sunday is in terms of the whole thing, you know, the whole Easter thing. And I don't know what it is. I just know what the Lord spoke to me about. And a couple of weeks ago, we were away, Penny and I, because it was our birthdays. And, you know, as we're approaching 40, what we thought would be nice to maybe get away for a wee night. See that? The unbelief's wild in here. And so I thought, dead on, we'll get away for a wee night. And so we were going. I need to go quick here, I didn't notice the time. We stopped off at this hotel in Fermanagh. And that detail's important because, you know the way I have a thing about getting out of the city, and when you get out of the city, it's full of cultures, right? And they are different. I don't care what anyone says, you better watch it, they're different. So this is like proper in the middle of their heartland, Fermanagh, where it's all like, you know, I think they're sort of approaching 1975 at the minute down there, right? It's all so slow, almost backward, right? And but anyway, if anyone from Fermanagh? Are you? Oh, flip me. I rest my case, Alan, do you know what I mean? And here the Lord's been good to give us a perfect picture of what I'm talking about. It's as well I know him and can joke. But what's happening is, so we go for a bite of lunch. Now, Penny is, she's not Billy me, obviously. She can eat whatever she wants, but she's sitting in the, and every time Penny sees, like, combo, which means, you know, like, you save, like, 35p if you buy six courses, Penny's all over that. So she buys the lunch combo, which comes with dessert and coffee. I didn't do that because it's the last thing I need. And so, It just made me chuckle. Things will make you laugh, and then you'll get a wee moment of revelation in them. So there's this lovely wee fella comes to serve, and Penny said, "Can I have my dessert?" And he went, "Oh, aye." And Penny said, "What is there?" And he went, "I don't know." No idea. And it's on the tip of my tongue. I was going, I don't know what there is. And I said, "Well, what is there normally?" And he went, "Oh." He started to think, he was like, and I'm sitting there going, right, where's Jeremy Beadle? He's going to jump out at some point, right? So I'm sitting there going, and he looks up and he goes, "Well, there's normally, I'm guessing that's the chef. Oh, he normally does a pavlova. Maybe a wee cheesecake or carrot cake or carrot cake. A wee drop of carrot cake. A wee drop of carrot cake or those profiteroles. And then he looked at me and he said, "Do you want me to go and check?" And I went, almost stunned at this point, I went, "That'd be great, where you go, way and check." So about 15 minutes later, right, 15 minutes, he comes back, and the anticipation's building. I mean, he went, I just went and asked him there, and he's a lemon cheesecake, a raspberry cheesecake, a strawberry cheesecake, and a fruit salad. And I went, "What? No carrot cake? No, there's no carrot cake." So I all I could picture was him going, "Tell him there's a cheesecake." And literally when the cheesecake came, it was a bit of cheesecake with one raspberry on it, right? And I was thinking, I bet you if we had asked for strawberry, it would have been one strawberry. And the fruit salad would have been those three things in a bowl. I just think they were having a bad day, but I laughed. No carrot cake. And so we had the, I don't know what it was, but it made me laugh. It did make me chuckle. Dead serious. Like, hello? It's like, that's a brilliant question. Like, I've never thought of that before. That's so good. All right, so life is funny, right? And if you do, but I had this, the question you need to ask me, well, that's fine, but will you go back there? Probably not, all right? I think that we reduced the average age by about 40 in that particular room that day. But not that there was anything wrong. He was a lovely fella, okay? It just made me laugh. But it made me think the basics are really important, all right? The basics are so important. You don't get the basics right, you're not going to build anything else on top of it. Because here I am a couple of weeks later, and not telling you about how lovely it all was and the nice little touches, because I can't remember those. All I can remember is, do you want me to go and check? Like, and the one cheesecake which could be could be served any way you want it. I was going to say, do you think you'd have a wee chocolate cheesecake just to play with them? To see if you go, oh, I have one of them with a bit of dairy milk on the top of it or something. It's funny, isn't it? But do you know what? In our lives, we have to have the basics in place. And what this week I was listening to Pastor Prince, and I actually found it a very... I was upstairs, and I was listening just for my own sort of feeding, to be honest. But I really felt the Lord speaking to me. I was listening to him preach on Golgotha, and on, because it's Easter, so I was wanting to feed myself. And I just had this kind of reimagining, reawakening, a moment, actually thinking as we come towards Easter, which is only a few weeks away, about the Lord speaking to me and going, Andrew, encourage the church that there are some basic things about this message that really need to be in place, because we might desire the cool stuff. Do you know what I mean? It's like, give me the more upon more. But the Lord goes, the more and more is built on really, really good foundation and really strong foundation. And even we've been singing about it this morning, I call this talk, he's proved his love for you. He's already done it. He's already proved his love. And so many of us as believers walk around with, actually, we might not vocalize it all the time, but we have this view in our head that, you know, how has he really demonstrated? At any point of the day, any of us can look at what's going on and go, do you really love me? Do you get that? Do you really love me? My circumstances are like this right now. Do you love me? How do I know that you really love me? Because right now, I'm not feeling it very much, Lord. Do you understand that? I don't know if you feel like that. I certainly do at times. And that might be shocking for you. I don't walk around in a cloud of glory, you know, dispensing little glory clouds to other people. There are times where I feel pressed on every side. And I go, Lord, I really need to know right now that you have got my back. All right? And it's interesting for me that when I am pressed on every side, and when there is pressure in my life, I don't default to the high stuff that I've heard. I default to the very basic things like, do you love me? Am I safe? Am I protected? I wouldn't give a monkey's what theologian you'd read at that point. I wouldn't care about this, that, or the other in terms of highfalutin theological talk. When I am pressed and my back is against the wall, where do I go and who do I depend on? And do I know that I know that I know that he has proved his love for me? And that's the incredible thing about Easter. That is the wonderful thing about this time of year. We're actually this week where I was watching, if anyone, I don't even know where you can get it. I have it for some reason. But it was a special that the pastor had done about Golgotha, about the journey to the cross. And it is incredible, incredibly moving, actually, as you look again on our Savior and what he has done for you. And what he went through for us, it was no joke and no laughing matter. And sometimes I find myself this week going back to that place of going, you did that for me. Well, how can I think at times when in my own stuff, in my own selfishness, in my own whatever, when I dare question at times, Lord, and he's okay with the questioning, don't get me wrong, but then I need to go, what am I looking at? Am I looking again at Jesus, who he is and what he's done, and understanding again and again and again that whatever may be going on in my life, he has proved once and forever for all time that he loves me, okay? Because that's what's going to happen this week when you have opportunity to be pressed, to be pushed, to come under pressure, when doubts come and anxieties come and worries come, all that stuff which is part and parcel of how we live, okay? When that's squeezed in you, where do you go? And I felt the Lord speak to me this week and go, Andrew, whenever that happens in you, I just want you to speak out loud and say, you proved your love for me, Lord. I will not allow anything else to take precedence over that thought. You have proved your love. Because when I look at the cross, when I look at that journey, he proved it. In fact, for goodness sake, it's even the name of our church. You know, what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks is the whole event which splits history in half. Okay, we talk about what happened before Jesus came, and now we're living in the post-Jesus world, yeah? Okay, and it's the entire history of mankind, particularly in the West, rests on this one event. It's the centerpiece, the defining thing that it forever changed my life, changed your life, and the destiny of you and your family forever is the cross, of Jesus. And that's why we sing and we worship around it. In Hebrews 12:10-14, it says, but this man, that's Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down. Sat down means the work is finished. You know, priests never sat down. They always had to continually offer, but this sacrifice once forever perfected you. So there was no, what that means is there's no more work of saving to be done in your life because you are perfect because of him, because he is perfect. That means Jesus as the priest can sit down where? At the place of authority, the right hand of God. So at the right hand of his Father, he sits, and that's the place of authority. From that time, waiting until his enemies are made his footstool when he comes back. For by one offering, that's his offering, he perfected you. If you're in Christ this morning, he has perfected you forever. Yeah. Isn't that good? You have been perfected forever. And the amazing thing about being perfect, okay? I was reading this week, actually, about how, we all know the bits that we mess up in, okay? So it's that difference between sin on us and sin in us, right? You might do stuff which is sinful, but it's not in you. Do you understand that? Because, and the thing is, Jesus is not, he's not stupid. He doesn't almost, pretend it's not there, but he chooses not to see it. He chooses only to see you through the lens of his work. Isn't that amazing? So every moment that you've messed up and you've got wrong, when he looks at you, because this is the problem that sometimes people have with the message of grace, where you go, well, it's got a bit stupid because when he looks at me, of course I do stuff that I shouldn't do. Of course I think things that I shouldn't think or say things that I shouldn't think. Is it almost like he's naive? Somebody put it to me once. And he says, no, that's not the way that it works. When the Lord looks at you, it is his choice to go, I only see Jesus in you. I choose to see finished, perfect work in you. You might choose to look somewhere else, but the Lord says, I'll not look there. I see perfect and finished. That's why I'm looking at you. Perfect and finished this morning. Look at that. That's brilliant. And it's on that basis of being perfected forever that Paul writes in Philippians 4:19. For some of you, let me tell you, this may sound like foundational, but strong foundations are the platform for where the Lord can really move in your life. Because if you're pushed about from pillar to post, when life presses in and your default is not, he proved his love, then you're going to be in trouble, okay? Our default has got to be looking and gazing and seeing Jesus so that our hearts shift to go, whatever is going on on every side, he proved his love. He proved his love. That's why Paul, when he's writing in Philippians 4:13, he said, and my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches. Hey, all of your need this morning, what is it? Think right now for a moment. Honestly, think right now for a moment and go, what is the need that you have this morning? From money, to health, to hope, to renewal of your mind, to freedom from, what is your need? Because God says he shall supply all of your needs according to what? According to his riches in glory by who? By Christ Jesus, by the cross. Every single one, physical, emotional, spiritual, they're all met through this cross. And I love this. It's a bit like one of my frustrations is if I phone somewhere, right, and they go, please press button 1 for such and such. You know what I do? I shout in the vain hope that somebody's listening. Give me a person. Please press button 4. No. And then I go, a wick. It's not a after press button 4. I hate that. You know what I mean? Does anyone else get really frustrated by that stuff? No, you're all so zen, like Jesus, like, right? I get irrationally annoyed by it. Grace goes out the window. It's like, just give me a human being. You know what I mean? And then when you get to the human being, you're so exasperated. Can I help you? You better believe it. I've 15 minutes of pressing buttons. I've got blisters on my fingers. Just sort it out, will you? Good morning, sir. It's like, sorry. What's your name? Pastor Toogood. Oh, awkward. You know what I mean? Oh, that's awkward. Yes. It's not like a phone system with the Lord. You don't have to press, like, where do you go if this is the answer, or if this is your need? Press button 1. No. He says, you've only got one big button. Press it. His name is Jesus. Whatever it is, folks, we have got to understand and got to have this heart revelation this morning that whatever's going on in our worlds, if Easter tells us anything, it tells us that the cross stands above it all. And whatever is going on, we need a revelation again that he has proved his love for us. Because there's only one way. He offers his all-sufficient sacrifice, and his name is Jesus. I'm setting this up, as you can tell. And so the issue then for us is, if that's the truth, okay? Now, your need might be different, and it probably is very different to the person sitting beside you or in front of you. But can I really encourage you? What I believe the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you this morning is grow in your understanding and your revelation of what Jesus did on the cross. It's the time of year for it. In Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. You know, many people will say, look, yeah, I get Jesus deals with sin or whatever, but also, but I go, right, okay, but where's your revelation? Where's your heart at with redeemed from every bit of the curse? Because I believe the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you this morning, I think Jesus himself is saying that our hearts need to expand over these next few weeks with a revelation of who Jesus is. Because where we see curse in our lives, it is never from him. Okay? Never from him. And whenever we see curse, what it does is it tugs at that truth of, has he proved to me that he loves me? Do I really believe when I'm pressed on every side that he loves me? And the word says clearly that because he hung on a tree on the cross, because he did that for you and for me, he became a curse for us. So what all the blessing of Abraham, we're spiritual children of Abraham, for those of you who want the Bible. We are children of faith. So we believe, we don't have to do, we have to believe, and then we receive. Amen. So I guess that's where I'm coming from over these next few weeks, is this freedom from curse. Because even, it's so funny, even this week, we were changing something in our family, and it's unbelievable. As soon as you start to take strides into something, how quickly the enemy comes into your mind, isn't it? Do you get it? Now, when you get a wee glimpse of something, you go, right, Lord, okay, I hear it, I receive it, I'm gonna go for it. And you take that one step in, and the enemy comes like, around your head, and you start to doubt, and you think it through, and your head goes over a million times, da-da-da-da-da, all this kind of stuff, right? Do you understand what I mean? Yeah. Please say yes, because if not, I'm going to have to get saved. I'm going to have to get saved this morning, Ivan, all right? But you understand? Ivan is Sophie's new best friend. Can I just say that? Let me just tell you, he just looked at me. On Friday night, Sophie came home from church here, and I was away on Friday, came back on Saturday morning, and she said to me, Daddy, I've got a new friend at church. And I went, really? He says, he's called Ivan. And I said, isn't that lovely? She went, we played balloons, and he gave me his name sticker. All right. And he had lovely shoes with doggies on them. Is he going to be there again? There you go, Ivan. I loved it. I thought, oh, bless my wee heart. But she is besotted with Ivan right now. All right. You can have her for a few weeks, guys. Bring her back, you know, when she's 18. But I tell you this, you'll gain more confidence. And you'll become more assured, right? And you'll know that you'll know on the rainy Wednesdays when you're sitting in your van or whatever that looks like for you, that he's proved his love for me. Because this week, even for me, I found myself so many times, and although, you know, just going, Lord, I know that you're asking me to take steps of faith again, to believe for more. But as soon as I try to do that, what happens is my head goes, whoa, and all the stuff of the past comes, all the inadequacies, all the silly thinking, all the accusation, all the fear of, well, that's fine for now, what about a year from now? Do you know all that stuff? Okay? And the Lord said, I have redeemed you from that kind of thinking and from the curse. That's the curse, Andrew. Now, you're going to live better than that. And, do you know the way I don't like my dog? Just to throw that out. If anyone wants her, she's still available. Talk to me afterwards. But I don't like that dog. But one thing that's good about having a dog is it gets you out walking. All the doggy people go, ooh, that bad brute. All right? Deal with it. Get over it. I'm praying. I've started to leave the gate open in Jesus' name. Oh, that's got them wound up. That's terrible, isn't it, Jillian? Awful. And don't judge me. It's just I'm being honest. And no, I don't leave the gate open. But the good thing is actually getting out and walking, right? And just, do you know what I had? It's just like Mark was saying, literally in a moment, okay, where you feel something shift. I was walking the mutt, and we were on the greenway. And literally, I felt the Lord say, Andrew, lift your head up. Really clearly to me, lift your head up. Because I must have been walking down like this. And all this stuff was going around in my head, you know, just stuff. It's not even real, it's just stuff. And the moment I lifted my head up, I just felt this supernatural peace just lift every burden. And it was a physical lifting off my head. So when Mark was saying that, when he put the bread in his mouth and the pain went, I could literally feel this week. I was almost like, oh, why haven't I done that before? Thicko, why have you not done that before? But it was the Spirit of the Lord going, I have redeemed you from curse. So let me go really quickly. This is the complete picture. I just want to speak into this for you this morning, because the most complete picture of what we will talk about over the next few weeks is found in Isaiah 53. It's very, really, I'm not going to read it now. I'm going to read it next week. But whenever we talk about the cross and what Jesus did there in terms of proving his love for you, the most complete picture, I think it's actually found in the Old Testament of what was actually going on. Now, it was written 700 years. Isaiah 53 was written 700 years before the actual event. And it describes this unnamed servant of the Lord who's going to be offered as a sin offering. Now, New Testament writers were absolutely unanimous. They didn't doubt for any moment that it was Jesus that the prophet Isaiah was talking about all those hundreds of years. And the whole problem that you and I have is actually summed up in verse 6. Now, I'm just going to jump in and out of the verses, but I'll pull it all together for you next week. It says this, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, that's the unnamed servant Jesus, the iniquity of us all. I absolutely love this because it gets to the heart of the issue for us. You know, there are specific sins here this morning that you will not have committed, all right? So probably the big ones, murder, rape, that, we all kind of go, yeah, I've never done that. Even if you have, it's all okay with the Lord, okay? One thing in common, though, that, and this is what happens at the start of verse 6, is that there's something about every human being, and this is why I so believe in the gospel of grace for this country. There's something in every human being deep down on the inside, all right? And it's what is called Avon, all right? Because when the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, what it means is every single one of us at some point turned our backs on God. We had our backs to God and we were facing our own way. And this word iniquity is the word Avon in Hebrew. And it means the closest word we have in English is rebellion, all right? Now, what's happened, why is that important? Because the rebellion that we have towards God, rebellion simply means self-centeredness versus God-centeredness. And so what happens is we all do our own thing, so the Lord lays iniquity, and iniquity means rebellion. You do your own thing, the guilt, or the sentence that's passed, rather, is you're rebellious, all right? I don't think there's any one of us in this room could go, nah, don't think that applies to me. I've been rebellious this week. Oh, shocking behavior. Anyone else been rebellious this week? No, and far too holy, all right? And what happens here, I love this, but you know what? Rebellion doesn't even convey the full meaning. Because what happens is as soon as you are rebellious before the Lord, right? If you go to Deuteronomy 28, every curse is listed that comes from rebellion. And you get them all. Whether you committed the crime or not, the whole weight of the law is against you. And every bit of curse is yours. Every single bit. Right? Because we find out in the book of James, if you break one little bit of the law, you broke it all. So you might turn around today and people will say, well, I'm quite good. I've missed that and the other. And you might, in your own, in a ready reckoner kind of way, in your own head, go, well, you know, Lord, I'm okay here. Forget that kind of thinking. Because as far as the Lord is concerned, iniquity was laid on you. You rebelled, okay? But it's much more than that. Much, much more than that. Because it's not merely the action of what you did, because there is a consequence. So every time there was rebellion before the Lord, there was a punishment and there was an evil consequence for every single act of rebellion. Oh, nightmare. All right. So what you see today is all the hurt, the pain, the sickness, the disease, war, pride, depression, fear, worry, all of that stress in human beings today is as a result of one thing. It's called Avon, rebellion towards God. Because the world will tell you, do whatever you want, with whoever you want, whenever you want, but it has no answer to what goes on as a result. We medicate people, we create more conditions than I've had hot dinners, but we can't get to the root of the issue because there is no natural answer for a supernatural question. And that supernatural question in you and me is we need to know that deep, deep down, something has been done with our rebellion. Right? This is why I love the cross, because your issue, I put it this way, sometimes the issue's not the issue, it's something else. Do you get me? Sometimes when you're dealing with stuff, the issue's not the issue, it's something else. And sometimes when we see the fruit of rebellion in people's lives, even in your own life, a lack of peace, a lack of trust, a lack of financial provision, sickness and all that sort of stuff, when we see the fruit of Avon, sometimes we go headlong into that. And we try to sort that stuff out, but the Lord says, go to the root of it. Remember I said to you that when the Lord goes to the root, he goes right to the innermost part. He doesn't cut around the edges. He goes deep down into the soil of your life, and he does it from the inside out, and that is Avon. Now, what is wonderful about this verse? The Lord laid on him the Avon of us all. Isn't that incredible? It all. Once, forever, all of your rebellion, the acts, the punishment, and the consequences was laid on Jesus so that you could be free. That's good news at Easter, folks, isn't it? I love it. This is foundational. Because otherwise, when we're pressed, right, the law mentality in us goes, I'm being pressed, right, because there's something wrong with me. Because actually I did this, and so this is why it's happening. So when I'm pressed, I can't really say that he loves me. I can't really prove that he loves me because the condemnation tells me something different. And the Lord says, no. Listen, even if you were to sit this week on that one verse, every time you feel it, just say, but Lord, you laid on Jesus all of my rebellion, punishment, and consequences. Amen. That will free you. That will heal you. That will set your mind at rest and your heart at rest like no other truth, because that's the heart of it. He laid it on him. And he cursed him. He became that curse so that you could receive every blessing of faith. Is that not good news? I flipping love it. See, the world has no clue how to deal with this stuff. It's the true meaning of the cross for you. It's the most incredible exchange. Do you know what? That's why we call this church exchange. For those of you way back in the day when Penny and I were younger than we are now, walking hand in hand in love, dreaming about our future. Flipping Nora. We always said if we had a church, what would we call it? And I think it was unanimous. It was exchange. Because it was that thing of, here's my life. I want to give you it all. Not sort of give you my life, my all, but like see all of it. Like not that, you know the way you say, give him your all. And this, it's this kind of, you know, I give him it. It's kind of a wee bit out there. But I mean like all of it, all the crappy bits too. Can I give you it all and get something different? Does that make sense? Just take it all. What I think is good, what I am indifferent about, and the bits that nobody will ever know, please just take it and give me something different in return. And that's the beautiful exchange on the cross. He says, come and just let me exchange for you everything that you need. And there's abundance for you. Right to the very heart of who you are. That's grace. Such big, strong foundations. I'm not going to get this finished. I love the fact that Jesus identified not just with our rebellion, but every punishment and every evil consequence. He carried them so that they might never return to you. So can I say to you this week, as Father the Lord say, take this quite slow as we look at Isaiah 53, because Isaiah 53 is him proving his love. Can I just say to you, every time this week you feel your head start to go, it starts to come in, it presses on every side, just say, but Lord, let me just speak to the root and not mess about with the fruit. Let me get to the root. All of my sin that would cause that curse has been laid on Jesus, and I am free. Amen. So whenever I was walking along with the dog along the greenway, and literally felt the Lord say, lift up your head, Andrew, because you're looking down. For me, I preached this a couple of weeks ago, didn't I? But I lift up and see Jesus. Here's me walking along, watching the dog, and the Lord says, lift up your head, all right? In that moment, feeling that the peace of God fall on me, and feeling the love of God fall on me. Do you know? And I just felt the Lord say, just thank me that you're righteous. That's good to the root. At my core, I am a righteous man. at my core, I am totally acceptable to you. And you know what was going on? I didn't even need to take the worries to him, to cast my cares to him. I didn't even need to do that, because simply in that moment of exchanging my worry for his peace, and just by the declaration of, you really love me, and I'm okay before you. See, as I walk along here with all this mental stuff going on in my head, I'm righteous, just the peace of God comes. The peace of God. And literally, I said to Penny, it was like a physical shift. Not just that, oh, I feel a bit better. It was like a physical shift. I felt it move. I kept walking along going, oh, it's brilliant. I might keep you, dog. You're quite useful. Can't walk the kids the same way because they talk back at you. All right, so. Let me just do one more and then we're going to take communion. Is this okay? Is this encouraging you this morning? Foundations. Do you know how you're going to remember this week? Say to yourself, "Cured cake, cured cake." We drop a cured cake, all right? And then the Lord will speak to you about, are my foundations strong? Are my foundations good? It says in verse 5, I'm jumping over the place here, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I just wanted to say this to you this morning as well, that as we come to Easter, I believe that there's an anointing from the Holy Spirit for people who are sick to be well. Do you hear me? In your mind and in your body, I believe that's part of the five times more blessing that Jesus has for you right now, is that you will not live under curse. Do you get me? And if you're under curse right now, lift your head up, see Jesus, and receive your healing. Not try harder, do that, think it out. Lift your eyes up, look at him, and receive your healing this morning. Right? Because it says here, what does the word say? Foundational. Whenever you feel it or your head's going, or if you suffer that way, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. I've actually unpacked the whole of this in Hebrew. I'm going to print it out for you and give it to you as we get closer to Easter. Every word. Because there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that this is about your body and your mind. He was punished, not just for forgiveness, but the Hebrew word here is rapha. It means to be made whole. Going all the way back when God reveals his names, I am Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals you, right? And so, and by his stripes we are healed means we are made whole again. So as God removes that mentality of judgment, showing us that we're no longer judged for our sin, right? And we stop then, because we don't want to interpret events in our lives which are, God might be doing this or letting this happen, right? We want to live in peace and wholeness. Romans 5:1 says that, therefore, having been justified by faith, okay, not by works, but by faith. What do you have whenever you're justified by faith? What does it say? Peace with God. If you don't have peace with God today, it's because you're justified by works. And when you're justified by works, you never have peace. Why? Because there's always a deficit on your side of the account, isn't there? You're never good enough. You'll never make it enough. You'll never add enough. Okay, and we want the peace of God, the wholeness of God. Eirene is the word here in Greek, I-E-R-E-N-E. It's a state of harmony that leads to safety and security. And it says here, Jesus was wounded and punished, bruised. The chastisement for our safety and security was upon him. And by his stripes, we are made whole. What's really interesting here is that you have peace. You can have peace with God. And that lack of peace, I felt the Lord say, if you're pressed and there's no peace, it's because you're justified by what you're doing. Not to condemn you, but to get you back to that place where you lift your head up to see Jesus again, to see the cross again, to see what he's done for you again. Because it says that those who have been justified by faith have peace. And I really pray for you. I want you to receive that in the way that it's meant, okay? Not to go, oh, there's something wrong with me. Because literally, this week, I keep telling you, I literally didn't do anything other than walk a dog along a path. And there was a supernatural exchange in my life of anxiety, proper anxiety. Crazy, right? For a supernatural. I skipped up back to the house. Penny thought, what's wrong with him? Probably. She didn't say anything, but I could see it in her eyes, right? I skipped through the door, kissed her on both cheeks, patted the dog on the head. She's going, did you call into the Park Avenue on the way? It's a local joke for those of you listening on the internet. Right. But seeing that woundedness and bruise, that we might know not just that we're forgiven, that there's no hostility from God, but what happens here is that I believe that in Rapha, and I'm going to unpack this, I'm going to finish this next week, but in Rapha, there's wholeness, and wholeness comes by faith. And so I just felt the Lord encourage you today, want to encourage you today to go, where you believe in faith that he has proved his love for you, the result will be wholeness in your life. Does that make sense? I have this strong sense for us as a church that the Lord, and I had this moment of thinking about five times more and what that means for us as a church and thinking about that. And it's not about the big outside stuff. Can I just say that? It's about what goes on in here. I believe the shift, first and foremost, in us is in here. Yeah. To really believe that pressed on every side, he has proved his love for me. I would much rather have a church full of people who know that they know that they know that Jesus proved his love, and they walk it out and live it out by their lived experience than all the fluff around the edges. And so I felt the Lord say, just take a step coming up to Easter to point a picture again of Jesus. Because we talk about grace and we talk about the work of it, but actually this week as I sat in my office upstairs and I watched about what he did for me at Golgotha, I was incredibly moved again. And I thought, Lord, I've forgotten. Not forgotten like I don't know, but I've let this grow dim in my life. And I'm flitting around the edges and stuff, but I need that heart shift again, okay, of wholeness and peace in my life. Amen. So I pray that over you this week. For me, I'm going to finish. For me, it was, I got exactly halfway through my talk this morning. Sorry about that. Just means that all the goodness is for next week, right? But do you get the sense of what the Lord is saying to you? He wants to go right to the very center, pressed on every side, but he proved his love. And I just felt the Lord say, I've proved my love for you. I've proved my love for you. I've proved my love for you. So my encouragement to you is whenever that is pressed in you this week, say two things. Isaiah 53:6. Lord, at the very root, whatever this is that's causing me, that's the fruit. That's not the issue. The root is, do I believe that it was the act, the punishment, and the consequence and the punishment was laid on him so that I, by faith, could receive blessing instead? Amen. That is my confession. That's what's going to come out of my mouth. Right. And I'm going to believe that and trust that the peace of God will flow.